This morning's reading is John 14, 15 to 31. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father. And I will love them and reveal myself to them. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but it is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no power over me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love him. Rise and let us be on our way.
Thank you so much, Connie. Well, Debbie and I had a lovely time in a beach cottage on the coast of New South Wales, and it's a block of land that my father bought over 40 years ago. I think it cost $1,400 at the time. It's pretty hard to find a block of land for $1,400 today. And it cost him $8,000 to build it. But it's a very simple cottage, and it overlooks an estuary and trees and bushes. It's just so beautiful. There's cockatoos and parrots, rosellas, kookaburras, and down in the water, egrets and herons, ibises, pelicans, cormorants. And it's just beautiful sitting there amidst all this nature and being able to go for a swim. And one of the things I found as I was sitting there looking out through the window and working on this research project that I've been wrestling with is that I thought a lot about my father, because he built this place. And it was one of those things that he did. You know, he had this vision and bought the land, and but my parents didn't have much. They'd been missionaries, and they were poor really for most of their life, and it was hard in many ways. When we came back from the mission field and ended up in Canberra, I had no shoes. I think my first pair of shoes, I was about 7. Didn't need them in New Guinea where they were missionaries, and in outback Queensland. But it was hard. So getting this place was incredible. It was really significant to have this place. And when I go there, I think of my dad and I remember him, and I miss him. I miss being able to talk to him. And you know what it's like when someone is not around anymore and something significant happens in your life, you think, I wish I could talk to them about this. I wish I could tell them about what's been happening and share with them this experience. And as we're enjoying the little videos that are coming through of our grandson and having various adventures in life, I think of my dad. I think, oh, I wish I could tell him about that and talk to him and have more of his wisdom to share. It's a tough thing, actually, being separated from somebody. And I think that's why, at the Last Supper, Jesus devoted such a lot of time and space to speaking to his disciples, because he knew This was the last time that they were going to be sitting down together as a group, having a kind of semi-normal meal together. That he was, the next day he was going to be crucified. He knew that he was going to die the next day. They did not know that. They thought this was another meal. They had a sense of anticipation and excitement. They'd been traveling with Jesus for 3 years. They'd seen amazing things. They'd given up everything in order to be with him. But they didn't know that he was going to be killed the very next day. But Jesus did. It's clear from his comments to them that he was aware of that, and he was trying to prepare them for that, and he was speaking to them about what it would be like when he'd no longer be with them. He's preparing them for that. And later they remembered. In fact, so significant were these words of his conversation with the disciples that they occupy almost half of John's gospel, just that conversation he had with the disciples. It's a huge chunk of the gospel is devoted to that last conversation he had with them. Because of the events of the next day when he was crucified, his resurrection a few days later, this particular conversation was like etched on their brains. And this is the last part of it. And he says at the very end, let's leave. And then he has some more to say actually before they leave. But he's getting towards the end of it. And what was he saying to them? What did he want them to know? Well, he's just mentioned to them beginning of chapter 14 that he's going to go away from them. And they're troubled by this. Thomas says, how can we follow you? We don't know the way. Philip says, just show us the Father and that'll be enough for us. And they're puzzled. They don't know what's happening. And so Jesus leads in to them into this conversation by saying to them, if you love me, you'll obey what I command. If you love me, you'll obey what I command. And he says, I'm going to ask the Father and he'll send you someone else to be with you, this counselor. He speaks of him as a counselor. A counselor is someone who comes alongside in a court case or an advisor to support someone as they go through that process. He says, I'm going to send someone to be with you. And this someone that he's speaking about, actually he names later as the Holy Spirit, the presence of God, the personal presence of God. He says, I will send the Holy Spirit, the Father will send the Holy Spirit to be with you. Jesus is concerned for them because they're going to be grieved that he's gone. It's a huge gap in their life. They've spent 3 years of their life with him. They've breathed and ate and drank sort of everything with him. They'd seen how he healed the sick, what he said to people, how he raised the dead, the influence he had on people's lives. It must have been an absolutely incredible experience to be traveling with Jesus for those 3 years. It's interesting that he begins his conversation, this part of it, by saying, if you love me. And I know they would have said, Jesus, what are you saying? Of course, we love you because we've given up everything just to be with you and we've seen so much. How can we not love you? But he's concerned that they will miss him. He's also concerned that they won't have his teaching anymore and that they'll miss being able to ask him questions. And I miss my dad that way. Like, I'd like to ask him some questions. Even now, I still have a few questions. And he knew that they would miss that, and he answers that in this conversation he has with them as he speaks about the Holy Spirit. He said he's going to send them another guide, someone who will comfort them, someone who'll counsel them, someone who will remind them of all the things that he said, someone who will teach them everything they need to know. He's going to be gone from them, he's going to be with the Father, but he says, it's okay because I'm going to send another to be with you. And he encourages them with that thought. It's actually quite confronting, the condition he attaches to this promise. The condition is, if you love me and you will obey what I command, and then I'll ask the Father and the Father will send the Holy Spirit. So he's saying quite frankly that in order to experience the personal presence of God in your life, in order to be full of God, through the Spirit of God present within you, dwelling within you, the condition is that you love Jesus and that you attend to what he says and that you walk the way he's taught you to walk. That's part of the deal. If you want the love of God to be in your life, you want the presence of God in your life, you need to love the Son of God. You need to listen to his words and let his words shape your life. I'm going to come back to that towards the end and as I talk about the application of this passage and what it means for us. These disciples have just been drinking in, actually, everything that Jesus has said. But he knows they're going to face difficulties. He knows they're going to be persecuted. They're going to find it's not going to be so easy following him in the times ahead. And he's saying to them, you need to keep that love that you have for me if you want to enjoy the presence of the Holy Spirit. But there's more, he says. He says the Father loves someone who obeys the Son. So God, the Father, loves someone who obeys and follows Jesus. That's, you know, such a compelling idea that if you love the Son, if you follow Jesus, then the Father responds in love towards you and his heart is moved towards you. And he says, he explains in this passage that the Father, God the Father and Jesus will come and make their home with such a person. Someone who loves Jesus, he says, that we will come and make our home with you. That's a lot of people in you. You know, it's God the Father and God the Son, and then there's this Comforter, the Spirit, who's going to come. You suddenly become quite complicated, actually, with God, so much of God in your life. Of course, in John's Gospel, when he speaks about God, there's only one God. Okay, there's only one God. But he invites us to understand God in a number of different ways. One is in Christ, is Jesus, is God with us, Emmanuel, as he's called, God with us. But also to enter into a relationship with God as a personal father, someone you have an intimate relationship with. And here he speaks about the Spirit of God, the presence of God coming and bringing God into your life. And what John says is that when you experience one of those three, you experience all three. Like if you get one, you get three. Three in one. If you have the Spirit, you have the Father and the Son. If you have Jesus, you have the Father. If you have the Father, you have the Spirit. So you have all three, as it were, as part of the deal. So when he says, I'm going to send this Holy Spirit, the amazing presence of God into your heart, and he will speak to you, he said he's already in you, but he will come in a really powerful way, and he will be in your life, and he will speak to you, and he'll teach you. He says, that's us coming to be with you. In fact, he says to them, he uses such specific languages. He says, you will see me. He says, you will see me. And I think he's referring to the seeing of the eyes of the Spirit. You will see Jesus because of his Spirit coming and dwelling among us. Of course, there are some people that have visions of Jesus. They actually see an image or a vision of Jesus. And sometimes Jesus does come to us like that. But here, I think he's speaking about seeing him through the presence of the Spirit of God in our heart. And the Spirit of God comes and leads us to the words of Jesus, helps us understand the words of Jesus, helps these words make sense to us, and they touch us in a really deep way. If you love me, he says, if you love me, the Father will send the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to be with you. And he says, he will be with you forever. He will be with you forever. It's an incredible promise, the permanent presence of God in your life. So here Jesus is explaining what it means to walk in a life which is not separated from God, but is actually full of God. And you do that by loving Jesus and listening to him and following his word and believing that he sends his holy presence, the presence of God, to be in your life and to move your heart and to teach you and to guide you and to help you in your daily life. It's an incredible package deal, really, an incredible promise that he's giving to them. I'm sure the disciples couldn't absorb all that at the time. They didn't really understand it. As far as they knew, Jesus was just going to be with them. They would stay with Jesus. They'd hear some more things of he's going to do. What miracles is he going to do tomorrow? It must have been really exciting being with Jesus. Like, what's he going to do next day? You know, like it's really exciting. But actually, that's stopping in that way it's been. Something new is happening. Jesus will be working among them, but he'll be working by the presence of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is saying, that's your identity if you love me, he says. If you listen to me, if you follow me, the Spirit of God will be in you and I will be with you because of that and I will be walking with you. This idea has been very precious to me at many times in my life. Sometimes when I'm praying or I'm worshiping, I just imagine the Lord Jesus is with me. He's standing with me. Or maybe he's walking around the church. That is, I'm in the presence of God. And he is personally present with me. And I know that that's a ministry of the Spirit to bring that to mind, to enable me to be aware of him present with me and his voice speaking to me. Sometimes I've had a sense of him weeping with me when I've done wrong and I've needed to come back to God. And I've sensed his compassion and his love for me because of his Spirit, as it were, teaching my heart about his holy presence. There was also a time when I was in some ways fairly isolated, and I was just very aware of the presence of God. That's when I was doing field work in Indonesia amongst the people of Aceh. In the northern tip of Sumatra, there's a group of people of about 4 or 5 million people called Achenese people, and they speak their own language. And I wrote a grammar of that for a PhD, which I completed in 1984. And that just shows you how old I am, a long time ago. And in order to do that, how do you write a grammar of a language that isn't, you know, written much? Well, you go and you live in the community, you drink a lot of coffee, you talk to a lot of people, and every time someone says something, you write it down, and you write it down. Oh, can you say that again? And so after a long time, you build up all these notes, and then I wrote a grammar. And I lived with a little old lady. I said little old lady at 9 o'clock, and someone else after the service came to me and said, I am not a little old lady. But this particular woman was actually little. She was about 5 foot tall. And she was pretty elderly. And I was living with her and her son. And she was a lovely lady. And I would often actually at night, I'd massage her feet because she had some damage on her skin caused by fungus and so on. Quite common in the tropics. And I'd massage her feet and maybe massage some antifungal into that or whatever. And she would talk to me about going to Mecca and her going on the pilgrimage and the Arabs. She found the Arabs very interesting and kind of puzzling. So she'd talk about that, and we'd talk about God, and we'd talk about life, and she'd talk about her children and things that had happened. And so I actually felt really loved. I was part of a community. But in another way, I was alone. I was the only Christian in that community. And actually, in that community, 15 years earlier, a lot of Christians had been killed when there was a massacre of people in the mid-60s, supposedly communists, but what happened there is that a lot of the local Chinese Christians were killed. And so there was a, you know, for me to live in that community was something different. They weren't used to having someone like that living in their home. And all credit to them, they were very gracious to me and I had a great time. But spiritually, I was isolated. I enjoyed my relationships there, but I didn't have fellowship with other Christians in that environment. I would read my Bible and they'd see that. They knew I was a Christian and I prayed and they were very gracious to me in that respect and accepted that. But it was hard. I had an incredible sense of the presence of God. I felt I was not alone because I was actually in the company of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, because Jesus said that He would come and the Father would come and the Spirit would come and they'd make their home with me. So I wasn't one person, I was four people, you know. And, you know, if you love Jesus and you obey what He says and you follow Him and you trust in Him, when you walk into a room, you're not just one person walking to a room, it's four of you walking into the room. And so you're in fellowship. God is in fellowship with Himself. That John explains that again and again. But when we love Jesus and follow Him, we actually enter into the fellowship of God. We're in community with God. And that was just so so significant and encouraging for me at that time. It sustained me. And so I didn't feel alone because of that. I didn't feel spiritually alone because I was in good company. I was in the company of God. And that's true for you as well. My message today is not particularly long and complex, but I want to draw two things to your attention about this. It's a really beautiful thing to live in the presence of God, to enjoy a personal relationship with God, to know Jesus as a personal friend, and to know the love of the Father as something ongoing and real and something like a resource that you can call upon. I can't speak to my dad anymore. He's been gone for 15 years, but I can speak to my Heavenly Father, and I know His presence, that He's with me, that is like a personal gift that He's given to me, that He's promised to me through Jesus. So that's a really precious thing. And if you don't have that kind of relationship with God, I'd like to encourage you to invite God to be part of your life in that way, to ask the Lord Jesus to be your guide, to listen to Him, to love Him, to follow what He says. But Jesus is saying that, in a way, two things. One is, if you love me, if you obey me, if you follow what I've taught, then I will be with you. I will make my home with you. God will be with you. You will never, ever be alone. You'll never be an orphan. He said, I'm not leaving you as an orphan. I'm not leaving you abandoned because I will be with you. And you will never be alone, ever alone again, because God is with you. So that's an incredible promise, but the challenge is you need to listen to Jesus. there's a call upon your life. In order to enjoy the presence of God, to have the blessing of that personal relationship with God, a love is needed in your heart, a love for Jesus, and a willingness to listen. And that brings lots of consequences, because Jesus said you should love your neighbor as yourself. He said you shouldn't just live for this life, you should live for God's life in you and in others. He said you should care for the poor, you should care for those that are vulnerable. He said you shouldn't use your body to abuse and control and dominate others. He said you should be a person of truth and grace, of trust in Him. He had many words to say, amazing things to say, that actually change the way we think about life. They reorder our priorities. Everything is different if you're choosing to listen to Jesus, to love Him, and let His words touch your life and to work in them. So that's a significant call upon our lives that he made at this time. It's not something to underestimate or just to kind of dance around. It's a serious call upon us to be devoted to Him. But the amazing promise that He then is attached to that is the knowledge of the love of God in your heart, of the presence of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, actually the living presence of God in your life, transforming your life, and that knowing Jesus as a personal companion, as a friend, someone who walks with you, having the Spirit of God like a well. Jesus said it's like having a well in your heart, like a spring in your heart that's always bubbling up and bubbling over with God inside you that never stops. And that's just an incredible promise that He's given. I want to also speak to those who've actually known a bit of what this means in their lives, but maybe the well feels a bit shut down. And maybe you've wandered away a bit from Jesus. Maybe you've actually stopped listening to Him and stopped loving Him in the way that you used to before. And I would really like to encourage you to open up that gift of love that He gave to you for Him, and to set aside whatever it is that's been standing between you and following Him and hearing His voice, to do what you need to do in order to be devoted to Him in the way He calls for. And as you do that, ask Him to be real in your life, to speak into your heart. Have an expectation of the presence of God. Practice the presence of God in your worship, in your prayer, when you're just by yourself, when you're with other people. Have an expectation of the God who will show up in your life, who will speak to you. That's what Jesus promises here. He promises that He will be, all the glory and the majesty and the power of God will be in us, at work in us. And that's a challenge to our faith. It's a challenge to us to think of ourselves in a different way, with faith, with expectation about what God will do in us, and also in the church, in our families, in our relationships. I was just thinking about Emma, and she's a woman of vision, Emma, and also of action. And Jesus invites us to have vision and action. The action is to love Him and to follow Him. And the vision is to believe that He calls us into an intimate fellowship, the knowledge of His presence, of His place in our hearts, in our lives. And that makes all the difference, makes a huge difference. I'd like to pray with you if anything of this has touched you and resonated with you, and yes, you'd like some of that, you'd like to know the presence of God in your heart, in your life, I'd like to pray for you. And the way to open that up, open up that door, as it were, is to say to Jesus, Jesus, I do choose to love You. I want to know more about You. Please forgive me that I haven't walked with You, and I choose to turn to You today. Let me pray and make these words Your words if this is something that you'd like to connect to. And maybe you've never prayed like this before, or maybe you've actually, your heart's been shut down. You've been here before, but you really, you feel like things have closed up. And I'd like to just declare this is a day of opening up, of wells opened before the Lord. So let me pray, and may these words be Yours. Lord Jesus, thank You that You took the care to speak these words to us when You met with Your disciples the night before You died. You could have had so much on Your mind at that evening, but You had us on Your mind. And You shared a promise to us of Your love, of Your holy presence, the Holy Spirit sent to us. And Lord Jesus, I come to You today and I ask for forgiveness that I haven't listened to You, I haven't loved You, I haven't followed Your words. I do want to do that. I choose to believe, to reach out to You. And Lord Jesus, I pray that You would come and send Your Spirit into my heart that as you wash my heart clean through the forgiveness that you've won on the cross for us, that you'd also fill me up, Lord, with the Spirit of life, the Father and the Son and the Spirit dwelling within me, Lord. And I pray, Lord, for just a fullness of the life of God in this congregation, in the lives of people, in people's homes, Lord. I pray for homes, families, where God is present, where his love is present, his truth, his life is present, for fruitfulness, for creativity, for joy, for freedom, Lord. The peace that Jesus spoke of, my peace I give to you. Come, Holy Spirit, I pray, upon us. Hear the cry of our hearts. And Lord, for those that have actually wandered away or have shut down emotionally or spiritually, Lord, I pray that you would just gently, just by your Spirit, just open up those doors for our hearts, of our hearts, that you would come in and you'd come and eat with us, Lord, that you'd come and fellowship in our heart to hearts with us, Lord, because we need you so much. We need your presence. You've promised to us, and so we call in that promise today. We ask you to be God among us today, to be present with us. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to say